One of the great things about Greater Los Angeles is the differences between neighborhoods, even down to the type of light that's in the neighborhood, hills versus flats. And what about the smells of different communities? What do they say about the way people make their living in that community, the kinds of cars they drive, the kinds of restaurants that are out there on the street? Well, undertaking the challenge to try and understand the smells of Greater Los Angeles is Brian Gilzenlider. He is an artist and a specialist on the power of smell. He's a post-media artist who focuses on smell and participatory art, and his work will be on display at the exhibition Sillage at the Santa Monica Museum of Art this Saturday. Brian, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you get interested in smells as an artistic enterprise?
Well, first it was more about smells as kind of a light perversion, let's say.
I'm not sure I'm glad I asked about this.
Don't worry. I won't take it too far. This is public radio. But when I was a little kid, I used to think that if something smelled good, if something looked good, it must smell good.
Yeah.
And so essentially that would get me into an awful lot of trouble. And I just noticed that even when I go to art museums, that if a painting looked great, I would be up there and the guard would have to tap me on the shoulder and say, you know, back away from the painting, kid. And so I just started to think, what would the olfactory equivalent of great pieces of visual art look like? You know, why is it that our culture, Western culture in general, has such a derogatory history with smell? And, you know, artists, they like anything that is kind of like an underdog.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into
it. So you champion smells now. So with the project in Los Angeles, how did you enlist the public's help in designing a fragrance that exemplifies a neighborhood? Mm.
Well, I had my own opinion of what these different neighborhoods smell like. Coming from San Diego and having spent a lot of time over the years in L.A., I'm sort of like a tourist that is familiar with the lay of the land, but there's no way in the world I would stake a claim on these are what these neighborhoods smell like without enlisting some consensus from other Angelenos. So I created a survey, and we've had it posted for about 2 months now. And after the most recent LA Times article about the piece went out, the numbers of people tripled. And so I've gotten so much consensus about the different smells of LA regions that it's given me a lot of confidence in unveiling these scents on Saturday.
Well, what percentage of them are gag responses?
No.
I mean, people almost uniformly took it seriously?
Less than 1%, honestly, are gag responses. And most of those are just trying to be poetic.
Yeah. So people really took it seriously, and were you surprised at how consistent the descriptions were by neighborhood?
I wasn't surprised, but what was interesting was that, let's call it the smell vocabulary that people have.
Yeah.
Some people are virtuoso smellers, and they found language that describes accurately what it is they're smelling. Other people essentially arrive at the same conclusion, but they do it in much more I don't want to say primitive ways, but they're
more limited in their ability to communicate.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of a virtuosic way of describing scent of a neighborhood?
Sure. Echo Park, lots of green and stale water. But there's a section of town that has new buildings and old architecture. Visually, you see old Victorian, but they are newly renovated. Deeper parts of Echo Park have lots of rich green smells at times, and the streets have a rain concrete smell. But the hills of Echo Park have a dry air type of smell mixed with dry pollen smell. Now, that would be a singular response.
Yeah.
Now, some of the other ones would be river water, cilantro, urine, tacos. It's just really kind of interesting that if you identify those key components to those smells, a lot of them smell alike, but one just happens to be a lot more sophisticated.
We're talking with artist and specialist in olfactory and participatory art, Brian Gilzenlider, whose exhibition Sillage is going to be on display at the Santa Monica Museum of Art this coming Saturday. We got details on our website at kpcc.org on the Air Talk page for our conversation. And as you got participants, were there certain parts of town where people just couldn't wait to do this, and others you had a tougher time getting people to describe the smell?
No. If you look at the numbers, roughly two-thirds of those surveyed left commentary for each each one. So
not just where they live, but as they travel around, very distinct smells.
Yeah.
So let's describe some of the different communities. East Los Angeles, what are the smells in East LA?
Hot asphalt, Mexican food, street tacos.
Yeah. Okay, not a surprise. The harbor area of LA.
Seaweed, industrial, hydraulic fluid.
Because of all the trucks, of course. Yeah. West Los Angeles.
The west side, a little more suburban, clean air, wet grass, and I added a dry sweat component, sort of like that that beautiful trophy wife that even when she sweats, when she goes for a morning run, she still
smells good.
Yeah.
And the San Fernando Valley.
I love that one. It's a rosemary that fades into bubble gum that's melting on hot concrete.
So symbolic. It seems to me that's perfect because, at the same time when the valley starts exploding with housing tracts is the time when bubble gum and gum chewing, it is a cultural thing so that it captures the history of the area.
And I didn't make it up. I'm essentially just going off of somebody's description and I find maybe a poetic way to encapsulate some of those descriptors.
How did you make the actual smells that embody what people told you?
Using the same basic chemistry and blending techniques that the perfume industry uses, and so aroma molecules that would be synthetically made along with natural molecules that are essentially essential oils, and you blend them and then you dilute them and you just make sure that they have the proper fixative permanence so that when you put them on the skin or you spray them in the air, they'll linger long enough, but not too long, to be pleasant and thoughtfully considered.
So people who come to the exhibition on Saturday, they're going to be able to smell all these customized fragrances representing different parts of town?
Well, that's where it becomes interesting because as you walk into the museum, there I am with this booth of fragrances, and you are encouraged to tell me where you live, and then I spray onto your wrist the fragrance that I made for your region of town. And then the only way that you're ever going to smell any of the other fragrances is to go up and actually meet people in the exhibition.
Ah.
So I'm not giving any free samples. You can spray, you can have it on, or you can choose not to have it on. But then if you're to smell anything, you just have to wander around and let your nose be the guide.
So this is a literal example of people sniffing each other around to see what they smell.
Yeah, and the notion of sillage is that wake that's left when somebody walks by you in the cologne or the perfume that they're wearing. So you won't necessarily have to go, canine species on someone, but you can just be aware.
You get it
as
they go by.
Yeah.
So there's a Valleyite, or there's someone from the east side, or the harbor area.
You'll know where Hollywood is. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Hollywood. Yeah. So what's downtown LA?
Downtown, I'm still tweaking it, but it's heavy on the asphalt, heavy on the exhaust. But ironically enough, it's the only one that I created with 100% essential oils. So it's 100% natural as opposed to using even one synthetic in the blend.
That is ironic.
Yeah, it's really
no
weird.
Smell of urine in downtown because that is such a dominant smell.
Yeah. I just kind of figured that was off limits. I didn't want to make anybody smell unequivocally bad.
Yeah.
I wanted to try
that.
I think
a lot of us just sort of get used to it over time. It's such a part of everyday life these days.
Yeah.
One way if you wanted to recreate it, I don't know if you've ever noticed the jacaranda blossoms when they fall off the tree. Yeah. Once those start rotting, smells just like urine.
And it's amazing because people were on the survey. Half the time they'd be saying urine, half the time they're saying jacaranda.
Yeah.
And wow.
Yeah. See, and that's very symbolic too. The jacaranda is the beauty of Southern California, the dream, the grandeur, and what does it turn?
That's beautiful. Guys, if I could afford you, I'd have you on my team.
Brian, thanks so much. Good to talk with you,
my
and
pleasure.
Congratulations on the exhibition.
Thanks so much.
Brian Gilsenleiter is a post-media artist. I'm not quite sure what that is, but it's a participatory process with odors, olfactory specialist, and he's put this together in Sillage Artistic Display at the Santa Monica Museum of Art this coming Saturday. Details are on the website and the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. And we want to hear in three words what your neighborhood smells like. You can tweet us using the hashtag LA Smells Like. Joe Navarez says in Burbank near the Equestrian Center, it smells like horses, coffee, lemons. Terry Moore in downtown LA says baking hot asphalt. And our own John Raby says his Cypress Park area smells like sulfur and dried grass. So send us your neighborhood smell in three words. Use the hashtag on Twitter, LA Smells Like. Tweet out your three-word description on Twitter using that hashtag, LA Smells Like, and we'll follow our Twitter feed and see what you have to say about it. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle, joined by KPCC health correspondent Stephanie O'Neill, who was with us not to talk about the Affordable Care Act, but about affordable public radio and how we pay for it with a $100,000 listener match on right now.